Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 25th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
President Trump claims victory following the Mueller report.
There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction.
Chicago Fed President Charles Evans weighs in on the U.S. yield curve inversion.
Financial conditions are clearly something that we're looking at.
Global stocks slump and bond yields hit fresh lows.
Lawmakers react to Attorney General Barr's Mueller report summary. Plus, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is cutting today's Washington visit short after a Gaza attack. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on sports. A near upset in the NCAA tournament. Duke survived over Central Florida. The Knicks lost. The Islanders won.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Flexport. Flexport's operating system for global trade delivers visibility and control for predictable supply chain costs and reliable transit times, all from a powerful technology platform. Learn more at flexport.com/OS.
Stocks around the world are falling. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 33. NASDAQ futures down 20. The DAX in Germany has turned higher, up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.46%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.32%. NYMEX crude oil a little changed at $59.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5 to $13.2370 an ounce. And the euro at $1.1320, the yen 110.20. This data check brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the biggest political win of Donald Trump's presidency.
There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. It was a complete and total exoneration.
Well, the president was not completely exonerated, but Attorney General William Barr's summary of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report said the president did not collude with Russia. It also said there wasn't enough evidence to find he obstructed justice.
Even so, Democrats are pushing for release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full report. Kevin Cirilli has more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Democrats, including the 2020 presidential candidates who are campaigning for president, would like to see that full transparency, would like to see the full text of the Mueller probe. They say that the 4-page document that was produced by Attorney General Barr is a political document and just a summary, a hastily put together summary, as one Democrat put it, and that the American people deserve the full Mueller report.
The Democratic chairman of the House Judiciary Committee says he'll summon Attorney General Barr before the panel to explain the decision not to pursue obstruction charges against the president.
And while allegations of collusion appear to be over for President Trump, his business still faces legal battles on several fronts. Harry Sandick is former assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York.
The campaign finance allegations in which Michael Cohen directly accused the president of participating in a crime that Cohen pled guilty to was not part of the scope of what Mueller was doing. The Roger Stone case is being given to the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia, so those investigations will continue.
There is still a hunger for impeachment among many Democratic voters, but the effort could backfire as polls show the wider U.S. public isn't sold on the idea.
Politics also front and center in the UK as Parliament moves to take control of Brexit from Prime Minister Theresa May, while members of her own party seek to remove her from power. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Yeah, it's a twin threat facing the Prime Minister as she fights for her political life. May confronting her cabinet this morning after weekend newspapers were filled with reports about ministers plotting to unseat her. Then later in the day, the Commons is expected to vote on a plan that would allow rank and file MPs to take control of the legislative agenda for the whole of Wednesday. More than 100 lawmakers have put their name to that amendment. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Sebastian. Let's get to markets now, where we're seeing risk-off sentiment this morning. Stocks in Asia kicked off the week with big losses. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index had its biggest one-day drop since last October, as markets across the region posted big losses, with Japan's Nikkei Index shedding 3% to post its heftiest fall since Christmas Day's 5% slump. In the bond market, Australia's 10-year bond yield recorded an all-time low of 1.78, while New Zealand's 10-year yield also fell to a record. Japan's 10-year yield dropped to its lowest since September 2016, when the Bank of Japan overhauled policy to focus less on asset purchases. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Bond yields around the world are hitting fresh lows this morning after the spread between 3-month and 10-year Treasury yields turned negative on Friday. Bloomberg's Catherine Greifeld has more.
This curve in particular has inverted before 7 of the last recessions. And this is the curve that the San Francisco Fed has said is the recession indicator that they watch. It's the curve that's most reliable for predicting a recession. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on Fed speak for sure.
And we'll have plenty of Fed speak to dissect this week with comments from nearly a dozen members of the central bank.
It starts right now with remarks from Chicago Fed President Charles Evans. He spoke to Bloomberg today from Beijing.
If you put yield curves, last time I looked last week, into a statistical model, they were throwing off a slightly higher probability of a recession, but nothing really different than an unconditional forecast. They've often misfired in terms of forecasting recessions, but it's certainly something to be paying attention to, and we're looking at monitoring the data. I mean, after all, the FOMC just announced that we're pausing, we're going to look at the data, we're monitoring all of this, and so financial conditions are clearly something that we're looking at.
Evans also says the Fed may have to put rate hikes on hold or even ease monetary policy if economic forecasts for 2019 disappoint.
And we have M&A news this morning involving one of the world's biggest private companies. Sources tell Bloomberg Uber will soon announce a $3.1 billion deal to acquire its Dubai-based rival Careem Networks. An announcement could come as soon as tomorrow. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures are down 5.5 points. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures down 21. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. The yield 2.46%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. We continue to gather reaction to the summary of the special counsel report. More on that from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says Congress needs to see the full report by special counsel Robert Mueller, not just the 4-page summary released by Attorney General William Barr. According to Barr's summary, Mueller did not find evidence that President Trump's campaign conspired or coordinated with Russia to influence the 2016 presidential election, but reached no conclusion on whether the president obstructed justice. Nadler on compelling Barr to testify.
I would hope that it would not be necessary to use subpoena power to get the attorney general to appear before the committee. We also want to see the full report, and if necessary, we'll use subpoena power to get that too.
Meanwhile, a ranking member of the House Oversight Committee says lawmakers must stand by the Mueller investigation. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio spoke on ABC's This Week.
Everyone in town said, this is the guy we need for the job. He is the best person we can pick. He is right next to Jesus. He can almost walk on water. This is the guy, and he will have the definitive statement on that fundamental question.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's cutting short his visit to Washington after a Gaza rocket attack on Israel. Netanyahu described this morning's rocket launch that struck a home in central Israel as a criminal attack. The trade war between the U.S. and China comes back into focus this week with more talks planned. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the latest.
Though the winds seem to shift from day to day, for the moment the negotiating climate seems to be favorable, with U.S. Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin heading for Beijing for high-level talks starting Thursday. But Lighthizer says some very big hurdles remain. The Financial Times reports China won't yield on its curbs on digital trade, such as limits on data transfer overseas, and until China proves it's complying, President Trump wants the tariffs to stay.
Now, we're not talking about removing them. We're talking about leaving them and
for a substantial period of time.
Beijing wants a deal conditional on the tariffs being removed. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Viking Sky cruise ship has docked in the western Norwegian port of Molde, and the company says all its passengers are safe. Passengers had to be rescued by helicopter after fears engine problems would dash the ship against the rocks in a storm. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the majority of the second-round games in the NCAA tournament were one-sided and won by the favorite, but a couple of games yesterday stood out. The first one of the day saw Tennessee blow a 25-point lead but still win in overtime over Iowa. And then a classic with multiple storylines. Mighty Duke, heavy favorite against Little Central Florida, who's coached by a former Duke star and longtime assistant to Mike Krzyzewski, Johnny Dawkins, who got 32 points from his son, Aubrey, who was involved in a thrilling finish. UCF had the ball down by 1 point.
UCF inbounding on the side of the front court. Allen will trigger. Everybody in the building standing, all 18,000. Allen looking, gets it in up top to Taylor. 5 seconds, he's on the right wing. He drives inside, leans in, puts it up, no good. Tap back, no good. Dawkins, Duke rebounds, and the ball game is over. The Blue Devils escape.
Good one, NCAA Radio Network. Duke survives barely, 77-76. Game-winning basket by R.J. Barrett, a putback of a Zion Williamson missed free throw. Williamson scored 32 points. The Knicks, 60th loss, beaten by the Clippers at the Garden, 124-113. The Islanders, who got shut out twice last week, had one of their own, 2-0 over Arizona. The news lately about the Super Bowl champion Patriots has been about their owner, Robert Kraft. Saturday, he apologized for the first time since his arrest on solicitation charges. The Patriot news yesterday, the retirement of star tight end Rob Gronkowski, who seems a certain future Hall of Famer. Grapefruit League wins for the Mets and Yankees. Yanks will play in Washington today. They open the season Thursday at the stadium. Mets will open in D.C. They've got one more game in Florida today. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. In other sports news, sources say Ice Cube's Big Three U.S. Basketball League has secured support from Serena Williams and Snoop Dogg as content partners for its $10 billion bid to buy 21 regional sports networks from Walt Disney. S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 43, NASDAQ futures down 22 points. This is Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties. For investor partners, see them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019 by Barron's. Find out why. Visit IBKR.com/YIB to learn more. And futures this morning are falling. S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 26, and NASDAQ futures down about 19. The DAX in Germany is little change to higher, up about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.46%, yield on the 2-year 2.33%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $59.04 a barrel, and COMEX gold up 0.3%, up $4.90 to $13.23.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1323. The yen, 110.22. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Democratic lawmakers are demanding a full look at Special Counsel Mueller's findings instead of just the four-page report from Attorney General Barr on the Russia investigation. And they are dismissing Barr's summary as incomplete at best. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's cutting short today's visit to Washington after a Gaza rocket attack on Israel. In sports, the Sweet 16 is set in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Number one ranked Duke survived a scare by UCF to advance. NBA action, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics, the Warriors won. NHL, the Islanders won along with the Capitals. After 9 seasons, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski is retiring from the NFL. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Michael. It is 6:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day and week ahead. For that, we're joined from Princeton by Bloomberg Senior Executive Editor John McCory. In London, News Director David Merritt joins us. And in Beijing, we're pleased to have Managing Editor Emma O'Brien. John, let's start with you. The special counsel report is in. But as Michael Barr alluded to in his news update, the political battle may be, well, not just beginning, but certainly far from over.
Absolutely right, Nathan. And Michael points out that the Democrats are going to fight, but by all means, this is a big, big political victory for President Trump. And what I find interesting about it is it may now set the terms for the 2020 campaign, both for the Republicans and the Democrats. Republicans have rallied around the president, saying that this is a complete and total exoneration, while even, in fact, it is an exoneration that the Trump campaign did not collude with Russia in 2016. It is not a complete exoneration regarding obstruction of justice, but you could tell that the Republican stance will be this was a witch hunt. The president should be left to now govern the country. The Democrats, on the other hand, are going to say, we want to see the whole report. There are more investigations at the U.S. attorney in New York. So this could really make for an extremely ugly, 18 months leading up to the 2020 election.
And speaking of political ugliness, David Merritt, while President Trump might be on a political high right now, I guess it's arguable that UK Prime Minister Theresa May is at perhaps one of her lowest political lows at the moment.
That's right. Really a prime minister on the edge. Fevered speculation over the weekend that she was about to face some sort of revolt within her cabinet to force her from office, seemingly hit the end of the road, being unable to get her Brexit deal through Parliament. That coup seems to have slightly fizzled perhaps overnight. At least no one has come out on the record asking her to go. She's chairing a cabinet meeting this morning. What is she going to offer to stay in her job? She's fighting for her political life. And for, of course, her Brexit deal. She's going to be facing down Parliament also then tonight with some more indicative votes about what Parliament wants. This is another opportunity for Parliament to really seize control of the process and offer what sort of Brexit it might want rather than her deal. Remember, we've got that extension to the Brexit process another couple of weeks now that she's got, not long before Britain would then crash out of the European Union with no deal if nothing else can be arranged.
Emma O'Brien in Beijing, quite the start to the equity trade in Asia, and I hope you can hear the sarcasm there.
Yeah, we saw a real sense of anxiety emerge in Asian markets to start the week. Japan particularly hard hit. Indexes there down the most since around Christmas Day. Shares of Japanese banks led the declines. This after the 10-year Treasury yield really slumped. And that was taken as a particularly anxious and bad sign in Tokyo. And we had the Nikkei end the day down 3%. Oracle, a Japanese tech company that posted some pretty weak third quarter earnings, also leading declines there. It slid a whopping 11% today to really weigh on MSCI's Pan-Asia gains. So it does seem that the sense that global growth may be at an inflection point is permeating the wider markets and really taking hold this week.
Yeah, and we're seeing that play out, John McCory, in the bond markets as well, really seeing a drive into safety.
Absolutely, and it really is on the back of what Emma just said. There's a global slowdown, and the data has been showing that, both in terms of U.S. jobs growth slowing, European manufacturing as well, not living up to expectations. So what that sets up is, of course, that central banks see reasons either not to raise rates or maybe even cut rates, and that would include the Fed, I would think, at least going into 2020. Certainly there's now the market expectation that the Fed will not raise rates in 2019. And what this means is, everyone, as you said, Nathan, everyone seeks the safety of sovereign bonds, and equity markets are getting killed because of it.
Oh, although at the same time, David Merritt, we're seeing a lift to the Turkish lira at the moment.
That's right. Bit of a bounce back after a very dramatic drop on Friday, more than 7% down. It's recovering a little bit after the central bank has stood behind the currency. But really, more volatility there as Erdogan steps up his war with the markets, putting JP Morgan into a probe that they've been aggravating swings. That's ahead of crucial municipal elections that are coming up this Sunday.
And speaking of elections, Emma O'Brien, the vote in Thailand is in.
Yeah, fascinating developments in Thailand. The party of exiled tycoon Thaksin Shinawat is claiming victory in these first elections since the military junta seized power. Now, the military-backed group that had initially been leading in the initial vote count, they're currently around 96 seats. For the military group, but we're talking 138 seats going to the Shinawat-backed party. That's slightly concerning because even if that opposition party does win, it does make you wonder whether the military will accept it because they've been working to keep him out of power for decades.
Emma O'Brien from Beijing with us. Also, European News Director David Merritt in London and Bloomberg Senior Executive Editor John McCrory with us from Princeton. This is Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now. To lock in a 2019 tax deduction, visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A victory for President Trump as special counsel Robert Mueller finds no collusion with Russia during the 2016 campaign. Reaction and analysis coming up in just a moment.
First, the stock sell-off that gripped markets Friday rolled into Asia today. Japan's Nikkei dropped 3%. Shares fell more than 2% in China and Hong Kong. S&P futures are down now nearly 0.1%.
Bond yields across the world are hitting fresh lows. Bloomberg market strategist Wes Goodman reports.
The fear trade is on. You know, bond yields are falling in Germany. Yields, 10-year yields are below zero. They're minus 9 basis points in Japan, and they fell to a record low in Australia. So this is a theme of slowing global growth and falling bond yields. It's, you know, going to be one of the major themes for the year.
It all comes after the spread between 3-month and 10-year Treasury yields turned negative on Friday after weak PMI data across Europe.
This could be another tough week for UK Prime Minister Theresa May. Parliament votes today on a plan to take over the Brexit agenda.
Apple introduces original video programming and news services today at an event in Cupertino, California. Gene Munster covers Apple for Loop Ventures.
The video service, they will likely launch in the next few months. Over the next couple years, they'll probably have 40 original series, far less than Netflix, but a good start for Apple. And separately, we're expecting them to announce a subscription news service where you pay a single monthly fee and get multiple paid news services. So big picture is Apple's putting more emphasis on services for the long term.
Apple says its services business is on pace to generate $50 billion per year by 2021.
Bloomberg News has learned Uber is set to announce a $3.1 billion deal to acquire Dubai-based rival Careem Networks. An announcement could come as early as this week.
And Boeing plans to meet this week with customers and regulators to explain plans for getting its 737 MAX jets back into service. The aircraft was grounded following two deadly crashes in less than 5 months. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And S&P futures are now down 2.5 points. Dow futures down 17. NASDAQ futures down about 16. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. The CAC in Paris also looking a bit better, little changed, up less than 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.46%. The yield on the 2-year 2.33%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get that reaction and analysis to the special counsel report from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr's summary letter of special counsel Robert Mueller's report has ignited a firestorm of reaction. Barr says Mueller did not find evidence that President Donald Trump's campaign conspired or coordinated with Russia to influence the 2016 presidential election. But he reached no conclusion of whether Trump obstructed justice. President Trump says the report is complete and total exoneration.
It's a shame that our country had to go through this. To be honest, it's a shame that your president has had to go through this before I even got elected. It began.
Democrats vow to press on as they demand the full Mueller report. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler.
The president or his people are saying it's a total exoneration. That contradicts what the special counsel found. It's a lie about this, what the special counsel found, but we should not be surprised that they lie anymore.
Greg Valliere is the chief U.S. policy strategist with AGF Investments.
I think the debate was pretty vigorous on obstruction of justice. I think there were some people close to Mueller who thought there was obstruction of justice. So that story is not over. There'll be a lot more hearings on that. But ousting Trump by the Senate is not going to happen. If you don't like Trump, you got to go to the ballot box.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's cutting short his visit to Washington after a Gaza rocket attack on Israel. An Israeli rescue service said the rocket from the Gaza Strip struck a house in central Israel, wounding 7 people. Democratic Senator Kirsten Gillibrand kicked off her presidential campaign yesterday in New York City with a rally outside of Trump International Hotel. Gillibrand called the president a coward and said he puts his names on buildings to project strength.
Look up at that tower. A shrine to greed, division, and vanity.
New Jersey lawmakers plan to vote today on legalizing recreational pot. Then tomorrow, the U.S. House Financial Services Committee will vote on the SAFE Act, which would permit commercial banks to offer services to cannabis companies that are in compliance with state law. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan Duke is the favorite to win the NCAA tournament, so a lot of brackets were almost busted in the second round. Duke trailed Central Florida by 3 with 14 seconds left. Zion Williamson cut that lead to 1 and got fouled, so a chance to tie. Duke actually did 1 better.
Zion Williamson with a free throw to try to tie it. 65% shooter. Looks up. Lets it go. Missed it. It's short. Offensive rebound, Barron. And Barron lays it in. Duke leads by 1. 12 seconds left.
Westwood 1, NCAA Radio Network. A last chance for UCF. 2 good scoring chances, including the tip-in that rolled along the rim before falling out. Duke 77, UCF 76. Williamson scored 32 points. So did UCF's Aubrey Hawkins, the coach's son. It was his tip-in that didn't go in. The tournament down to the Sweet 16. All the teams seeded first, second, and third are still alive. The only real surprise, Oregon, a 12th seed, had to win the Pac-12 tournament to get in and still alive at UC Irvine last night, 73-54. LA Clippers latest to beat the Knicks, 124-113 at the Garden. Islanders 2-0 over Arizona. Robin Leonard the shutout. Yankees with James Paxton on the mound beat the Twins 5-3. Exhibition game today in Washington, D.C., and then they head home to start the season Thursday. The Mets schedule this week criticized by Noah Syndergaard. They beat the Marlins 8-4. Jeff McNeil drove in 4. A 3-hour bus trip to Sarasota today to play the Orioles. A flight to Syracuse to work out tomorrow at the new home of their new AAA team, and then back down to D.C. for Thursday's opener. Rob Gronkowski, Patriots star tight end the past 9 years, announced he's retiring. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Let's get more now on the fallout from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. Attorney General William Barr says President Trump did not collude with Russia and there wasn't enough evidence to decide whether he obstructed justice. We turn now to our colleagues from Daybreak Asia, Ed Baxter and Doug Krisner, speaking with Bloomberg News investigative reporter Greg Farrell.
I think there is still many more questions than answers, but we do know Mueller's report did not find direct collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian effort to undermine the U.S. election. So I think that is a top line that's important. There's so many questions and there are so many things that have already come public that appeared suggestive of that, that it's hard to really weigh it because we don't know how they were explained away. The meeting in Trump Tower, the data that Paul Manafort, the president's campaign manager, gave to a Russian spy. Roger Stone taking hacked information from a Russian spy and helping to analyze it during the campaign. Those were very suggestive things. We don't know how they were explained or explained away, and I think in time, hopefully, we'll find out.
Yeah, David, there's one line that just stands out to me from this letter, and this, of course, is the Barr
letter of the release. This talking about obstruction says, quote, the report found evidence on both sides of the question and leaves unresolved what the special counsel views as difficult issues of law. So what he says, his interpretation was that Mr. Mueller kicked it over to him, and he says, no collusion, no obstruction. Is that your reading of it?
I think that it's clear that Mueller decided to, rather surprisingly, not to weigh in on whether or not there was obstruction. I mean, it's usually the prosecutor's job to say if they think a crime had been committed, but he chose to punt it. You know, there are those who believe he was actually throwing it to Congress, saying, look, this should be something for Congress to consider for possible impeachment, because obstruction, you know, in both the Clinton cases and the Nixon impeachment efforts, those were big parts of it.
Mr. Trump refused to be interviewed by the special counsel. I mean, they were in agreement on a couple of answers to a few questions, but there was no kind of interview that would have maybe gotten us to that level of, hey, this constitutes potential obstruction.
I guess, but he did make public interviews, the famous interview with Lester Holt, where he said, I got rid of Comey because the whole Russia thing, and that was a witch hunt, and he basically said what he did it. I remember another interview where he said, you know, I fight back. If you want to call it obstruction, that's fine, but I fight back. So I think there was enough of a public record that you probably couldn't get him to say anything better than those two statements.
Yeah, David, the president now is claiming victory. He wants to go after the other side. And I think, but I want to follow up on a point about the difference between legal definition of obstruction and, you said, punting it over to Congress, because if there is a mood for impeachment, that is a definite different bar than the legal outside in criminal or civil case, correct?
It is, and I think we've already seen some of the reaction from the president's loyalists saying, this is it, it's done, case closed, we should move on and start to heal the country. And I think that's not going to happen. I mean, Congressman Nadler just said he's bringing people in, and there'll be other hearings, and it's going to keep going on.
And as it keeps going on, we'll keep bringing you the latest here on Bloomberg Radio. That was Bloomberg News investigative reporter Greg Farrell speaking with our colleagues Ed Baxter and Doug Krisner on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak Americas. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street with the special counsel investigation over, does the legal turn political? Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us with more analysis. This is Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update brought to you by FlexSport. Say hello to FlexSport and the operating system for global trade, combining cloud technology and analytics, logistics infrastructure, and supply chain expertise. Learn more at FlexSport.com/OS. Futures this morning. S&P futures are now little changed to lower. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest losses in the U.S. futures after Friday's sell-off. Dow futures down 12 points. S&Ps are down 2. And NASDAQ futures declined by 13. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.47%. Oil is little changed. And Asia markets were under pressure overnight as Japan fell 3%. European markets are trading mixed right now. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Chicago Fed, and at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, Winnebago reports in the pre-market. And in deal news, Thermo Fisher expands in gene therapy with a $1.7 billion deal. And Uber is set to announce a $3.1 billion deal to acquire its Dubai-based rival as early as this week. In other news, Fed's Harker says he sees one rate hike at most this year, and Tradeweb sets its IPO at 27 million shares, sees pricing 24 to 26 each. Wrapping things up, Spark Therapeutics was cut to equal weight at Barclays, Texas Instruments cut to market perform at Bernstein, and Akamai was cut to sell over at Deutsche Bank. Live from the First Breaker News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Attorney General William Barr assessed that there was no collusion with Russia during Donald Trump's 2016 campaign and that there wasn't enough evidence to find he obstructed justice. Barr released a four-page summary of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's 22-month inquiry into Russian interference. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he's cutting short today's visit to Washington after meeting with President Trump. Netanyahu says a Gaza rocket launch struck a home in central Israel. He called it a criminal attack. In sports, the Sweet 16 is set in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. Number one ranked Duke survived a scare by UCF 77-76 to advance. NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Celtics. The Warriors won. NHL, the Islanders won along with the Capitals. After nine seasons, Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski is retiring from the NFL. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check out what's going on in D.C. in official Washington. It is all about the Mueller report.
Do not think you can bury this report. Do not think you can bury the evidence in secret by briefing eight people in Congress and say we've discharged our responsibility. That's not going to cut it.
House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff on ABC's This Week. On the same program, the top Republican on House Oversight, Jim Jordan, said the report doesn't appear to be the bombshell Democrats might have hoped for.
To date, not one bit of evidence to show any type of coordination, collusion, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia to influence the election. And that was the charge when this thing started almost 2 years ago.
But even beyond collusion, House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler tells Fox News Sunday Congress has other issues to look into.
The special counsel was looking and can only look for crimes. We have to protect the rule of law. We have to look for abuses of power. We have to look for obstructions of justice. We have to look for corruption.
I think if they want to go down this path, we're going to meet them with strong resistance, because there is a certain time that this is just a rabbit chase that they're wanting to go on a fishing expedition, and we will be meeting that as it comes up. Assuredly, the American people will see through political stunts like that.
Doug Collins is the top Republican on House Judiciary. He was also on Fox. Republican Senator Marco Rubio tells NBC's Meet the Press if the Justice Department releases the Mueller report, he wants to see all of it.
Let's see the FISA applications, because this is an extraordinary use of government surveillance power, and we have legal reasons why you might be able to use it, but show us what those were. What was the underlying predicate for those FISA applications?
And the head of the House Democratic Caucus, Hakeem Jeffries, was on CBS Face the Nation.
The American people deserve to know whether Donald Trump is either A, a legitimate president, B, a Russian asset, C, the functional equivalent of an organized crime boss, or D, just a useful idiot who happens to have been victimized by the greatest collection of coincidences in the history of the Republic.
And that was just some of the conversation from the political shows you hear every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, starting with NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with me now. And of course, as we know now, all this conversation happened before Attorney General Barr released his 4-page summary of the Mueller report, which I would think certainly shifts the conversation for Democrats now.
I think it definitely does shift the conversation. I think what we're going to see now, we are seeing already, is Democrats pushing for the release of additional details. I think Democrats don't want all along, they haven't wanted to sort of have Barr serve as an interpreter of Mueller's report. They want to see the report firsthand for themselves. Now, Barr has said that he's going to release some more information from the report, but he hasn't given a time frame for that. And so I would expect to see Democrats in the coming days push for a full release of the report and to have that happen quickly.
And as we also heard from that string of sound bites earlier, Republicans are also calling for a full release of the Mueller report, but they want to see stuff like the underpinnings of the FISA warrant applications and the underpinnings of the so-called dossier. I mean, this is an ending.
Exactly. This is just kind of the next phase here, because both sides, both Republicans and Democrats, have some things that they want to see in this report, some details that they want to probe. I think they want to look at different aspects of the report, but I think that we're likely to see Republicans, you know, be just as eager as Democrats to see some of the more detailed aspects.
And of course, before potentially any of this comes out, we are seeing a almost giddy President Trump, just looking at his tweets this morning, he's tweeted at least six times now about total vindication.
Exactly. I mean, it's a little hard to keep up even already. And I think that, you know, it's not in some ways surprising that the president isn't taking a very nuanced approach to spiking the ball here. I think he's basically saying this is a complete and he has said, in fact, this is a complete and total exoneration, which is a mischaracterization, I would say, of, you know, what we know so far. In fact, specifically, Barr's letter said that it stops short of an exoneration of the president, essentially just that Mueller didn't find enough evidence to bring charges of obstruction or collusion charges. But I think that we're likely to see both Trump and his surrogates continue to characterize this as, you know, a complete, you know, acquittal or letting off the hook or clearing of his name.
Well, when you talk about the potential for a lack of exoneration on obstruction of justice, I mean, does that lead to further lines of inquiry for Democrats who have said the obstruction question is something that they should be looking into as a political matter as well?
Absolutely. And I think that goes to the comments that we just heard from Gerald Nadler from the Judiciary Committee, the Judiciary Chairman in the House, where he essentially said that, you know, the mandate of these congressional investigations is far wider than the mandate of the special counsel's investigation, and that, you know, they could pursue lines of inquiry that have to do with the rule of law and wrongdoing that may not meet the level of criminal that would constitute a criminal indictment, but might, you know, constitute some kind of, you know, at least in Democrats' mind, the need for the public to be aware of additional information about what went on. And, you know, no one, I think, is quite firmly at this point taking even the impeachment possibility off the table completely.
And we know that Congressman Nadler has said that he's going to call Attorney General Barr to testify about this report in the coming days. I mean, when could we expect that to happen? And what sorts of lines of inquiry should we expect from a proceeding like that?
I mean, I think that'll be another big one to watch right up there with, you know, Michael Cohen's testimony in the House earlier this year. I think that Democrats will probably want to get Barr in front of them as quickly as possible. I think one of the issues that will hinge on is how long it takes to redact some of the information that, you know, Barr is claiming shouldn't be released to the public because it's part of secret grand jury proceedings. I think that will need to be sorted out most likely before he agrees to come testify. But I think that Democrats will want to get the answers to some of their questions about this. And part of that also will hinge on how much of the report is released and how quickly.
Are you expecting that we're going to see the special counsel testifying as well?
I mean, I would be surprised if that didn't happen in some ways, just because, you know, I think House lawmakers will want to hear directly, you know, from the horse's mouth, as it were, when it comes to Mueller, because I think there's a sense that perhaps Barr, at least among Democrats, that Barr may not be as separate from the investigation as potentially even-handed being a Trump appointee and having expressed some of the views that he has in the past, that he might have a different interpretation of Mueller's findings than Mueller himself has. And so I wouldn't be surprised if in some capacity Democrats want to hear directly from Mueller.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that we're going to be talking about this for quite a bit longer, even with the special counsel investigation now at its end. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always for the debrief. And you can read more about the Mueller investigation and the investigations in the Southern District of New York as well on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 3.5 points. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures are down 17. And the euro is at $1.1314. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.